This is On Call with Dr. Sydney Miller on CJAD 800.
We are here with Dr. Regelita Melrose. She is a clinical psychologist, a school psychologist, and she is telling us some wonderfully exciting things and very hopeful information about what's going on with our children out there, why many of them are struggling in school, why they're not learning, and it may not be learning disabilities or attention deficit, or maybe that too, but what we're talking about here is stress, and some of the very exciting things that Dr. Melrose is telling us is that children can recover. Their brain is a very flexible thing. It regenerates. It can relearn. It can reconnect. And in so doing, we can help our kids who are underachieving really get right back to where they need to be. The lines are lighting up again. Dr. Melrose, I want to get to all these folks because they have some important questions and comments. So perhaps we can head right to that. We've got LJ on the line. LJ, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, hi.
Okay, so my question to both the doctors, Dr. Melrose and Dr. Miller, is that, okay, we're talking about children here, and we're talking about stress disorder and pharmaceuticals and alternatives to pharmaceuticals. Now, if you're in the system, and the system is telling you to take these medications, and you tell them, well, I want to try an alternative, they won't let you. So what's up with that?
LJ, good question. Dr. Melrose, I mean, LJ's bringing up a question, I guess, for parents as well, who children may be getting assessed and labeled. And as you said, we don't want to poo-poo the fact that children do sometimes need assessments. But how do we deal with the fact that this is groundbreaking stuff and school may not have caught up yet to it?
I really love the question. And I can tell you now, this is being reported to me by many of my clients in private practice, that the pressure has been so great now, at least here in the American system, for alternative approaches to be recognized. There have been so many demands that insurance companies are beginning to cover these alternatives now. So this is giving many, many people the choice. So we don't just have to go with pharmaceuticals anymore, at least not across the board. So I tell you this to say, if that's not happening with your insurance company yet or with your doctor yet, keep putting that pressure on, because there is more and more evidence to show the efficacy of these alternative approaches. They need to be covered, and they need to be supported by our medical community.
Right, and I think that's one of the things that, if I could call it your mission you're on, because when I think about some of the things you're coming into Montreal this week and what you're doing all over the place, it's really talking to educators and talking to parents about, I mean, I like the topic of your talk this week in Montreal, parents take a breath, your children are perfectly normal, and here's how to keep them that way. So you're, in a sense, on a mission to make sure what you're saying needs to happen will happen.
I am on a mission. You said it, Dr. Miller. I am on a mission. And I'm not going to stop until we are all educated as a whole community to know what our options are, what stress really is for children, for a developing brain, what it is for us as adults, what it can look like, and what the alternatives are to pharmaceuticals, because we can change our brain body in the same ways, but without side effects, as pharmaceuticals, as psychopharmacology. So I'm very excited about educating people about taking that power back in their own life.
Beautiful. Let's go to another call. Now we've got Andy on the line. Hi, Andy.
Yes, how are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Good. My question is, I'm a parent. I have a little one. She's 14 months old, and she's scared of a lot of things. And the problem is, I don't know, like, sometimes we go out, and she sees people around, and she grabs my leg or my arm, and I don't know what causes that. I'm trying to figure out, and I'm having a hard time.
Well, I'd like to say that at 14 months, that's perfectly natural. And it's an opportunity. I really want you to see this. It's, you know, our language is really important. The perspective that we take on our children's behavior is more important than anything else. So how I want you to now understand this is it's an opportunity for you to be so physically reassuring and supportive and affectionate. And, you know, it's a wonderful chance for some fabulous bonding to happen. And so, yes, she's going to need to feel your comfort. And it's going to need, the way your physical presence is going to be soothing for her, you and, her mother as well, whoever her caregivers are, is for you to be as calm and peaceful, genuinely, not faking it, okay? Faking it isn't making it. That's what we're learning. Yeah, it's the title of another book, I think. Why faking it ain't making it? Because we have to be living a less stressful, less frenzied, less agenda-driven life in order for our developing children to feel really safe and comfortable with us. So through osmosis, she's going to suck up the energy of your nervous system and that of her other caregivers. So do be taking very, very good care of yourself and just give her lots of the extra affection and reassurance that she needs right now, and she'll be perfectly fine.
Thanks very much. Yeah, wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andy, for great call. Great calls. Let's try to get to another now before we run out of time here. We've got Jen on the line. Hi, Jen.
Hi. I'll get to the point. I failed 7th and 9th or 8th grade. I can't remember which one. But anyway, there was a lot of stress in a sort of way because I think it's maybe a physical thing, physiological, how a person's built. Like, I have a twin sister who was totally the opposite, and I was more fragile. And when I got all the communicable diseases, because we went to the day nursery during the war years, I would have it 3 weeks and so on. But my point is, I was also taken out of 7th grade because twins shouldn't be together. And anyway, I failed 7th, and then I failed the next one. And then everything was fine when I left school because I saw no point to go back because my hands hurt me, and we had a lot of typing and penmanship. And then I was doing fine.
Jen?
That's my point. Is it a physiological thing? Like, are some people stronger?
Oh, that's a very well put question.
You know?
Yeah, very good question. And yes, we used to, I don't know if we used to.
And then we got all these telegrams from overseas. My parents.
Okay, sorry, we lost you, Jen, but let's listen to Dr. Melrose here. Okay, yeah, sorry, Jen.
No, I really appreciate the question because, yes, in fact, that there are some of us who are born more sensitive and more vulnerable. And it is a physiological thing. And so depending on what was going on in the womb, it isn't unusual for one twin to get more of the resources than the other twin. So it really can be like that. And so you have this sense, this knowing that you were born more vulnerable, more sensitive, and that the root of it is physiological for you. And I wouldn't doubt that. That is a knowing that you have, and I'm sure that if you were to get hooked up to a machine that measured your heart rate and your blood pressure and your cortisol levels, there would be a distinct difference between you and your twin. And we did have stories at one time that twins shouldn't be together. Your twin might have been a real resource for you, and the loss of that resource for you at that time may have had a genuine effect on your capacity to self-regulate your emotion and arousal, and hence you didn't do so well at that stage of your life. So this isn't an uncommon story, believe it or not. These kinds of things have happened, and they make a lot of sense.
Reggie, I just want to make a point because I think I want you to make this point, which is just because somebody may be born genetically more vulnerable does not mean that everything you've been talking about this evening cannot change that vulnerability.
And I want to say something really important, Dr. Miller, is it's not a genetic vulnerability or sensitivity. It's physiology. So when it's funny because we talk about nature, nurture, and is it environment or is it genetic? The womb is an environment. So we are born out of an environment. Mm-hmm. So again, this is Gabor Mate's point as well, is that just because you're born a certain way doesn't mean that's genetic. it's also physiological. It's also because of the environment that you're growing up in the womb, you see. And yes, you're absolutely right that our experiences thereafter, you see, we're born with such a small part of our brain, Dr. Miller, that our brain, the whole of our brain, is literally sculpted by the experiences we have after birth. So it's nurture, nurture, nurture. And we can change our brain and our nervous system in either direction throughout our lifespan. If we make healthy choices, we build healthy neural pathways. If our choices aren't so healthy, then our brain development isn't so healthy. But we have that choice throughout our lifespan.
Dr. Melrose, I can't believe we have no time left. I hate to do this, but in a minute or less, could you give us one more message about how to change these stress patterns? I'm going to link people from our website to yours so they can start learning, but could we give them one learning lesson?
Yeah, I guess what I really want to say is that I don't want people buying into other people's stories, right? We hear a lot of stories. Please don't let yourself be labeled or put in a box or sent down somebody else's pathway. I really want us to stand on our own path and learn more and more for ourselves what's really going on for us that cannot be defined by necessarily an objective measure. So write your own story. Tell your own story. Get a good education and start at my website. And my YouTube channel is huge, and I want everybody to have free resources that way. So if you go to my website and my YouTube channel, there are plenty of free resources there to get you started.
Dr. Reggie, thank you so much. It's been a fascinating, wonderful hour.
I really appreciate being with you. Thank you, Dr. Miller.
Thank you. Have a great night. Have a great trip to Montreal. Folks, coming up in hour two, we're going to be talking about the winter blues, another area where you don't have to be stuck with it. There are things you can do to make the changes you need so that you can go through this winter, perhaps your first winter, successfully and happily. Coming up in hour two, my name is Dr. Sidney Miller. You are listening to On Call here on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.